I'm going to talk to you tonight, folks, about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a guide. That's in the title of my message. The Lord's Prayer is a guide in how you can pray. Amen? So, if we ask, what is the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is a passage from Jesus' longest, most detailed sermon. And Jesus gives us a specific direction in his prayer how we should pray. And this is the exact format for prayer that Jesus tells his disciples to use. So if it's good enough for Jesus, if it's good enough for his disciples, it's good enough for me and you, right? Amen? So in addition to a formula, Jesus gives further direction in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 5 through 8. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you," and understand again, folks, when you hear that word verily, if you hear it one time, God is saying, this is important, listen, if you hear it said twice, this is a Jewish custom. If you say it twice, that means this is really, really sincere, really important. He says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions." Anybody know what that is? Vain repetitions? Somebody? Nate? Right. Saying the same thing over and over and over. He says, "Use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." So Jesus tells us not to pray, folks, for the sake of impressing others, but to pray in secret for our own reward. He also tells us not to be repetitive or babble on and on as we pray. You see, our prayers do not need to be extravagant. They do not need to be wordy to be effective. All right? This is how Jesus tells us to pray, with meaningful words and more intimacy. All right? He wants you to pray with meaningful words and more intimacy. Our prayers should be less of taking and more of adoring. God wants us to worship him and praise him. More listening and more worshiping. Okay? We speak less so God can speak more. Sometimes as you're just praying there and you're talking to the Lord, just kind of see if God wants to speak to you. If we are the only ones talking when we pray, how can we hear what God wants to speak to us? Amen? Jesus' directions tells us how to not just pray, but how to pray well. So how do I use the Lord's Prayer? You can use the Lord's Prayer and personalize it and use Jesus' words as a structure for your prayers. Now, I want to break the prayer down verse by verse so that you can pray just like Jesus, okay? Let's look at number one here. Start with praise and worship. The scripture says, the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The word hallowed here, folks, means honored as holy. Honored as holy. The first step to any prayer is to give God glory, give God honor, and give God praise. Amen? Don't go into your prayer, "Okay, God, here's my list." Just start worshiping God. Start praising him. Give him honor and glory. Amen? And just butter him all up. All right? This positions, when you do this, when you start out your prayer, give God glory and honor and praise, what that does, This positions our hearts to be aware of God's presence as we pray. Okay? We want to understand, hey, you know, we don't want you to get partway through it and just get rattling on just because you got to get your hour in. Okay? When you start praising and worshiping God, He starts touching you and you're having that intimacy with Him. Amen. As you pray, all throughout that prayer, you're going to have the awareness that God is there. His presence is there as you pray. So here Jesus also directs us to, He directs us to acknowledge our Father in heaven. God is the creator of the universe, right? Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the Bible says. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's God Almighty. But, folks, He is also our Heavenly Father. And He loves us. Amen. He wants an intimate relationship with us. So we have to begin our prayer by calling Him Father. And praising His name brings us into His presence in the right way. So with reverence and with awe, but also with intimacy and relationship. Understand, folks, relationship is an important thing in serving God. When I was younger, I had a pastor that would just preach hellfire and brimstone. And I did not have a relationship with God. I didn't want to invite anybody from school or wherever. I didn't want to invite anybody because I was afraid I would never make it to heaven. The Lord sent a man to our church and started teaching about relationship with God. It changed my life. Amen? It changed my life. So here, this is the time to have that intimacy with God in your prayer. You are praying to the loving, tender God of your heart. Amen? Who knows you fully and He loves you very deeply. You see, the words we choose, hear me, the words that we choose when we pray have power. Understand that, folks. Your words, your voice has power. God spoke all the planets and He spoke the earth and all that's in the earth. And He spoke that into existence. God wants you to understand what you speak to Him has power. Amen? That's why we shouldn't be derogatory. Amen? We don't want, when you speak that thing, you're basically prophesying because that's what's going to come forth, whatever you're speaking. If you have negative thoughts and you have negative thoughts about church and negative thoughts about the pastor and some of the people in the church, you think you're going to get anything out of living for God? No. Amen. And think about what you speak around your family members. You want to see your family members saved? You need to be a great witness to them. Amen? So what you speak has power. All right? Don't be hesitant or be afraid to call Him your Heavenly Father. Amen? So let's look at another step. It says, pray God's will to be done. We want to pray God's will to be done. The scripture in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So that's, we're praying God's will to be done. Not ours, but God's will. Jesus tells us to pray God's will over our own will. Now, we don't like that, do we? But He wants us to pray His will over our will. And we struggle with that, don't we? Come on, let's be honest here tonight. We struggle with that. We want what we want. That's why, you know, your pastor's asked you to be selfless this year. Let's be selfless Christians. It's not about us. It's about God and what He wants. And let me tell you something. You say, well, I want this and I want that. Let me tell you something, folks. If you pray God's will in your life, you'll be happier than you ever dreamed of being. When you're in the will of God, it's a happy place to be. So, Jesus tells us to pray God's will over our will because the ultimate goal of prayer is not to convince God of our will, but to align our will with His will. Amen? Praying God's will to be done is, in our situation, what that does, it puts His agenda before our agenda. That's what God wants, folks. He is God. He created us. Amen? He created everything. And also, when you come down at an altar and God fills you with the Holy Ghost and we baptize you in Jesus' name, you are bought with a price. You're no longer yourself. Amen? So we have to pray God's will be done in our situations, and we have to put His agenda before our agenda. So this is the mark of a truly surrendered saint of God. When you do that, say, God, I want your will. Understand, folks, God knows what's best for you. We don't like to think that. We think we know what's best for us, but I'm telling you, God knows what's best for you. We can certainly pray specifically for our heart's desires, okay? But He knows them anyways. God knows your heart's desires. So, but ultimately, our main desire should be for God's will to prevail. Even if His will is opposite of our desire, okay? Even more specifically, folks, Jesus instructs us to pray God's will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. It means that we desire His will to be done freely, without disobedience or without obstacles or without hindrances of any human sin. Jesus tells us to pray this way not because, folks, listen, He wants us to pray this way not because God needs us to do His will. He wants us to do His will, but because He chooses to use us to do the work of His kingdom. If anything for God's kingdom is going to get done on this earth, it's going to be because we do it. Amen? Understand that. If you have loved ones that need to be saved, they're going to get saved because you're praying for them and you're seeking God for them. If you have a neighbor that needs to be saved, it's going to be done because of you. If you have co-workers that need to be saved, it's going to be done because of you. Now, you can't save them, but you can be that witness and that light to them that will bring them to Jesus. Amen? So to do His good work, we have to trust Him. We have to obey Him while striving to deny our sinful human nature. And folks, be honest with you. If we all look at, you know, we sit here and think, well, I want this and I want that. But we made a mess of our lives. That's why we're here. Right? When we do our own thing, we make a mess. So in heaven, these issues are not present, but they're present on earth. So we should desire His will to be done and for us not to stand in the way of His will, disobeying and sinning. Another step is we pray for your needs. See, so now you prayed for God's will to be done, and now you can pray for your needs. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. So here Jesus, His transition into instructing us to pray for the provision of our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. No matter how seemingly insignificant, no matter how mundane, God wants you to pray for your needs. So we need daily bread in the sense that we need God to daily dwell with us and guide us. But also we need literally daily bread to stay alive. So we need our spiritual life fed, amen, and we need our physical life fed. So pray for both our physical, our spiritual provision in your life and in the lives of those that you love. God created us with bodies. He created us with souls, and both need daily sustenance to sustain. Amen? Pray for the things that you need and thank Him. Thank Him for all that He has already blessed you with. Amen? Another step, confess sin. Now, we don't like this. Confess sin, ask for forgiveness, and forgive us our debts. Many times we pray and we forget these steps, but they are vitally important to our walk with God. We need to regularly ask God to search our hearts and reveal our sin, reveal it to us. We need regularly be confessing those sins to God, and we need to ask Him to forgive us. See, prayer is about cultivating a relationship with Jesus, and in any relationship. Part of intimacy is humility. Part of intimacy is openness. You can't have a great relationship with anybody if you're not going to be humble, if you're not going to be open with each other. Amen? Something's going to build up, and all of a sudden it's going to blow the top off. We have to be humble. We have to be open. We have to be teachable. We have to, our heart has to be able to apologize when we're wrong. The mark of a truly humble heart is a genuine desire to apologize for wrongdoing and seek forgiveness from God. Do not leave any, folks, hear me, do not leave any sin unconfessed. Do not leave any sin unrepented of. Sin, what it does, it erodes relationships with God, and it hinders that intimacy that God desires. Another step is ask for help that you can forgive others. I told us the other night, we need to forgive. I said, the great book to read is The Bait of Satan. We must be able to forgive others. Amen? If you want to make it to heaven, you must be able to forgive others. Okay, as we also have forgiven our debtors. God forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors. If you want God's forgiveness, you must forgive. If you can't forgive, you're not going to get God's forgiveness. And you may not think that you regularly need to forgive others. You may not think you need to regularly forgive others, but this doesn't just refer to obvious conflicts, okay? That argument you had with somebody, that's obvious. You need to forgive them and go on. But there's other things. What this can mean is forgiving someone for disappointing you. Come on. Or forgive them for letting you down as well as forgiving someone who has wronged you. It's important, folks. People let us down all the time. All right? Forgive them for that. Look beyond it. Amen? Try to find the good in them. The way people talk about others on social media should show you how badly we need the help of the Holy Spirit to continually offer forgiveness to other people. We should offer it freely, whether it is deserved or whether it is requested, because we have been forgiven when we did not deserve it. Amen? Folks, it is our duty as Christians to portray the love of Jesus Christ to our world. And that means forgiving when the world they'd rather say, well, retribution, that's justified. You have a right to get right with them, to make it right. And with this means that forgiving those who slander you or somebody that speaks against you when the world would say they don't deserve your kindness, we need to forgive them. And I know it's not easy, but I'm telling you, this is what the Lord's Prayer says to do. Amen? You go in your Bible, it's in red, folks. Our flesh doesn't like that. Our flesh is going to fight this tooth and nail. So we need to regularly pray for strength to forgive other people. So these six steps, pray for safety, pray for protection, pray for deliverance. The scripture says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, though God allows us to be tempted, though God allows us to be tested, He is never the tempter. Well, God's tempting me right now, so no. James 1:13-14, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, here's how you're tempted, but every man is tempted, how? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. My pastor told for years the story of this couple. This is a true story. Went to a hotel room, got a room, went in there, got down on each side of the bed, and said, Lord, help us not to do this. What do you think they did? Drawn away of their own enticements, their own things. Many times we get ourselves in a predicament where we're tested and we fail. Ooh, it's quiet here. Should I stay on this for a while, folks? Help me out here. Preach with me. We lead ourselves into situations where we are tempted. See, Jesus is showing us how to pray against this and keep us from being our own worst enemy. So this part of prayer is important because of our flesh is weak against temptation. Though we can withstand and overcome through the strength of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It is better if we steer clear of temptation from the very start. Don't put yourself in a predicament. You know, it's a crazy thing for an alcoholic to go sit in a bar all the time. He's foolish. Okay? We should also pray that we do not cause temptation for any other brother or sister. Don't do things that would cause somebody else to fall. Pray also here for protection. Pray for safety as we have a real enemy who lives to attack God's people. Pray, as Jesus says, for deliverance from evil. So do you feel more equipped to pray differently? I hope you do tonight. To help you apply the Lord's Prayer to your prayer life, folks. I have Brother Adam passed out this guide, and it'll help you. It breaks down the prayer, and it gives you a little direction. So I hope that those help you out. Amen. We want God's will to be done. Amen. God bless you.